So you are what you are in this world. That's either one of two things. Either you're somebody, or you're nobody.
A lot of this is behind the scenes or under the hood.
It's time to just look under the hood. No stone should be unturned.
I don't even know what that means. Look under, I got an engine underneath my hood.
The most important thing in business is honesty. Integrity, hard work, family. Never forgetting where we came from.
Hey, pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Welcome to the Under the Hood podcast with Jonathan Hood.
Across 110th Street, push it, roll it, to chunk it, go free. Across 110th Street, woman trying to catch a trick on the street. You bet it.
Welcome to the Under the Hood podcast with me, Jonathan Hood. Thanks so much for being part of this podcast. Don't forget, wherever you find your podcast, tell people. They can find it on SoundCloud. They can find it on iTunes. They can find it on Google Play. Wherever you find your podcast, look for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. We have a very special guest, someone who I did a couple of shows with in Los Angeles when he's working with ESPN. That dude, Marcellus Wiley, is with us. He's got a new book, Never Shut Up, The Life, Opinions, and Unexpected Adventures of an NFL Outlier. Great conversation with him as he talks about the world of inner city violence growing up in South Central in Los Angeles, an Ivy League terrific player in college, and of course, a great pro that you'll never forget because he was that dude, a great personality, and wrote a really interesting book about his life, whether it's on the gridiron or growing up in Los Angeles. A lot of stories with that dude, Marcellus Wiley, with his new book right here on the Under the Hood podcast. Marcellus, as always, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, appreciate you, Hood. How's it going, brother?
I'm doing really well. I want to tell the story of how you and I met when you were working at ESPN Los Angeles. I came in to just fill in and do a couple of shows, and I did not know what to expect. I knew the program director, Dan Zampillo, at the time, told me to come in. You were doing television. You came in like 5 minutes before the show, and you said, "Hey, man, what's your name?" I said, "Jonathan Hood." He said, "Where are you from, Chicago?" He goes, "Okay, let's do it." And then we did a four-hour show. That was our prep.
Hey, not much has changed with me, man, except I don't get there 5 minutes before, like 1 minute now. But, man, it's fun, man. You know, it's all about listening more than talking and the energy exchange, man, and much respect for how you get down. And I've always been that guy. My producers, my coaches, I've always said, no jumping jacks. And they're like, what does that mean? I'm like, I'm not big on the warm-up. I'm coming warmed up. I'm coming ready to rev. So let's just go get this.
I remember you and I, like in our second or third segment of us doing a show, talking about the inner city of Chicago and talking about your upbringing too. So I want to find out, how difficult was it for you to dig deep and talk about the violence and talk about the fights that were going on when you were growing up?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, because I have so much pride and my identity is wrapped around my circumstances and my neighborhood, and I represent Compton to the fullest and South Central to the fullest, but I also got to call it like I saw it and keep it real. And it was nothing that anyone in my family selected and chose. They found themselves in that circumstance in part because they didn't design their life or live out their truest desires. Whatever reason, whatever way, my mother, who I love dearly, my favorite person ever, the reason why I even played sports and tried to achieve anything, had two kids by the age of 19 and decided to turn all of her focus inward to the family and raise us. But obviously that sacrifice was met with consequences, so we were poor. You know, my entire family existence, no one lived outside the hood. No one lived outside those circumstances. And it was defeating, man, the gangs, the drugs, the poverty, and the low ambition, man. People just going to jobs, not careers. And then it affecting their spirit, and they're dimly lit walking around just with a cloud over them. And on the edge, ready to snap on anything, man. I have family members murdered, family members committed suicide. It was just eating us up, eating us alive. So I was just a young kid that had academic success and athletic success and decided to put my cape on and be responsible for getting my family out the hood. That was my goal.
Again, wherever you find your books, especially Amazon.com, Marcellus Wiley, Never Shut Up, The Life, Opinions, and Unexpected Adventures of an NFL Outlier, with us here on ESPN 1000. Marcellus, so, you know, I think that one of the conversations that we had at the time was talking about how, especially here in Chicago, where there's a difference between someone that's involved in a gang, a gangbanger, and someone that's just trying to say, this is my block. And just, and even though you don't own anything on the block, you're saying this is your block. So there's a difference in the type of banger now than it was, what, 10, 20 years ago. What was pre-NWA South Central like?
Yeah, man, it's crazy you say NWA because I think that really changed the game. Because that was the first time it came out in story. How LA gang warfare was, and then obviously everything started to snowball and domino from there. Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, all these rap groups from there. But NWA brought it out where everyone saw it told. Before that, man, it was just survival. And I tell you why it was survival, because we didn't know what we were in. We didn't know what we were going through. We didn't have it poetically expressed. We didn't see the magnitude of it. I just was just trying to get to school and get back home. And I knew the rules, and I knew the code of the streets. I knew I couldn't wear red because I lived in a Crip neighborhood. I knew that I couldn't go on that side of the street. I couldn't go to that football game. I couldn't look at that person this way. I never could move my fingers fast, or certainly don't ever throw them up in the air. I couldn't do the peace sign. Like, all these little subtle codes, and some overt, that just told you this is the difference between life and death. So I'm just a youngster trying to get through it, man. I don't know what I'm going through. I don't know how big it is. I just know it's here and it's real. So before NWA, man, you just saw a bunch of survivors. And if you were able to survive and escape the hood from that era, then you make it. Then you made it. Because look at all the success stories that come out of Compton in South Central. There are so many people that got ate up by those streets, dead, in prison, or living lives that they don't desire. But if you make it, boy, you're so strong from that experience, nothing's going to stop you.
What is it your experience now? Because I know you still talk to kids groups and all that. What is the streets like now versus when you were coming up?
Yeah, I mean, it's diluted in terms of what those rules are. Like, Crips wear red, Bloods wear blue. They're all trying to get money, and gangbanging is not priority, but it's certainly real, and they're still heavily invested. But there's no more who banging on people, which we used to say, just gangbanging for fun. I think it's a little more serious. Like, okay, we're not trying to get all into the violence. They're more into trying to make money or find a way out. And, you know, there are a lot of gangbangers turn rappers. A lot of gangbangers turn entrepreneurs, investors. they're just trying to find a way out, man. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that it's still a violent place, but nothing like it used to be, which is a blessing. But, oh, the ills are still there, man. The poverty is still there. The issues still exist, but more than it used to be, more guys are trying to find a way out instead of repping to the day they die some street corner or some block.
In your book, you talked about your grandmother. You referenced her earlier. I grew up with my grandparents, so that particular part of the story definitely resonated with me. What's the importance of having grandparents in your life?
Yeah, it's the wisdom, man, and the maturity, and the distance they have from emotional events. You know, I'm gaining that wisdom because I could look at some of the events I wrote about when I was 20, and I would have handled them completely different. But it's the respect that you get from going around the block so many times, and that's the wisdom that grandparents have. My grandmother was no filter, profane. When we say we keep it 100, I don't know too many people that actually do it, but she did it. And mm-hmm. she always told me the raw, naked truth about me, about my friends, about my circumstances, and about life. And it's funny, growing up, I didn't like her. I always said, Grandma, I love you. We used to have this conversation. I was like, I like you a little, but I love you a lot. But you're mean. You don't have decorum. You're not cordial. She's not the grandmother that's baking cookies for everybody and say, come on in and have some fun. She's the one yelling at you for get off her yard, get off her lawn, and telling you you look a mess and go home and study and get out her face. Like, that was my grandmother's hellos and introductions. But it helped me understand what was real from what was fake in this world. So much love to my grandmother and all the wise ones out there.
Tell me about your girl, Charlene, or should I say Janet Jackson from Different Strokes. Tell me about your girl.
Man, Charlene got me through a lot of trying times. Charlene from Different Strokes, mm-hmm. Janet Jackson. That was my girlfriend. Even though on the show she had to be Todd Bridges' girlfriend, she was really my girlfriend. it's just funny, man. I was just a huge fan. I thought she was so beautiful. I'm around that age range, so I had a crush on her. But we used her as fuel when we were working out. So my best friend Jabari, you know, we had to do a set of 10 reps, and I'm struggling around 8. He's like, all right, man, get one more. I get one more, and now I'm really stuck. I can't get the 10th one. I'm at 9. He's like, one more for Janet Jackson. And, boy, somehow, some way, as soon as I heard that, I got that 10th rep going, man. So Janet Jackson has always been dear to my heart, man. She made me push through the walls.
Does she know that? Have you talked to someone that's close to her, or does she know the connection?
No, and it's crazy. I had one moment in my 20s, but even then I didn't know it was Janet Jackson. I was at some barbecue place, and the guy owned it said, man, you didn't talk to Janet? She was out front, and her friends was, like, saying hi to you. And I was on a date, so I had that little fake focus because I was trying to, like, be all into my date and not look at these other pretty girls. But turns out it was Janet Jackson and her homegirls, and I didn't give them no time of day. But that was as close as I've come to other than seeing her in concerts. But one day I'll probably go backstage. One of my friends is actually a background dancer. Maybe I'll hit her up one day and break down this story so we can both laugh.
Never Shut Up is the name of the book from Marcellus Wiley. Wherever you find your books, including Amazon, please, if I support Marcellus Wiley, you should too. While we're having this conversation, go online and pick up a book right now. Marcellus Wiley, Never Shut Up. Is there someone, Marcellus, that you met in your career, maybe outside of your family, that kind of knew your worth, that it kind of surprised you? Someone maybe outside of the family, someone in your business or football dealings that kind of understood who you were and your worth, and it surprised you?
Yeah, I think growing up, just the love and support I had and how I was protected with the force field from my family, my mother, my father, my sister. I think they all knew that I was something different and make it be special in this world. But it was the first person that really materialized it from outside my family scope was my godmother now, Jackie Blackett. She's just an associate AD at Columbia. So she's not family, but she became family because she helped translate the world to me. And she saw the value in me and my talents and my potential, but she also saw that the way that I saw the world and approached the world wasn't going to be great for my efforts in terms of really becoming something and understanding what was coming at me. So she was the translator. She was my Rosetta Stone for success. I was just not a hood kid, but just from the hood. I didn't see and didn't have the exposures like everyone else did at Columbia, and certainly of people in the real world. So she helped decode a lot of situations for me, man. So I think she was the first one.
In the college and in the NFL, Marcellus, why is the locker room, as you were talking about, really the best place to be? Because you had a lot of stories in this book about locker room situations while you played football. Why is the locker room the best place to be?
Yeah, man, it's changed, it's evolved, it's different now. But back then, it was the no PC land. I guess it was my grandmother's her whole spirit was in the locker room. You could say anything. You can do anything. And it was protected. It was like, whether it was battles on religion or battles of politics or guys just clowning each other for what they're wearing, what they're doing, how they're performing, families, you're just talking about each other's families. Like, everything was just unfiltered, and it was such a great place because you had 53 dudes all from different parts of the country, different parts of the world, all thinking different, acting different, being different. But we all had to get on one page to go out there and play that game, man. And now all these camera phones and guys are just saying stuff because they know they're on TV or social media or they're recorded. You have to be safe. You got to watch what you say. Even the ones who were offended back when I played could defend themselves. Like, but now we act like everyone's defenseless because in part everything has been socialized. So I just remember those days and how it made me smarter, it made me tougher, and it made me better, and I miss them.
All right, what your Clippers going to do next season? Because it's not about this season. What your Clippers going to do next season? Because it's going to be a big free agent time for everybody in the NBA.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Jerry West has a plan. Expect two max free agents to come. We have a squad, man. We're a good team. We're deep, but we don't have the cherries on top. Tobias Harris is a beast. Gallinari, when healthy, is a beast. But he's not healthy often. But all that said, in today's superpowers, the NBA, you need 2, 3, 4 stars, superstars. And right now we need to make sure we address that next summer. So I think this year we're an eighth seed. We scrape and try and get in the playoff. But next year, like you said, I think this team could be special.
Marcellus, I appreciate it as always, man. I will ask you this last question. This is how you get that exclusive. Okay, so there's a lot in this in your book. Will there be a follow-up? Is there a Never Shut Up 2? Because we need all of the information about your radio and TV career.
Oh, man, that's great. I appreciate it. Yeah, the beauty of this is it stopped when I was 41, 42, and now 43, and I've right. already moved from ESPN to Fox and right. have some other endeavors off mic that are going on. So I would love to not only continue the story and, like I said, never shut up, but more importantly, I'm going to see the fans' reaction because I could take a deeper dive into some of the elements of this book based on reaction and response. So the beauty of writing about your own life is, as long as you keep living, you always got something to write about. So hopefully another one will be in the works.
There you go, man. See, you can't have a book entitled Never Shut Up and then stop. There's more to say.
And then shut up, right? Like, that's the next book. Shut up. I finally am done. So, no, I'm with you, big dog. I appreciate it, Jay Hood.
Okay, don't forget, again, Amazon, wherever you find your books, it is Marcellus Wiley, Never Shut Up, The Life, Opinions, and Unexpected Adventures of an NFL Outlier. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
All right, it's great chopping it up with you again, man. Talk soon.
You're listening to Under the Hood Podcast with Jonathan Hood.
Great conversation with Marcellus Wiley. You can purchase this book wherever you find your books, on Amazon and other places. Never Shut Up, The Life, Opinions, and Unexpected Adventures of an NFL Outlier. Marcellus Wiley, great conversation with him, and look forward to talking to him sometime down the road for sure. The executive producer of the Under the Hood podcast is Dr. Sean Davis, and I will talk to you next time, another edition of the Under the Hood podcast.